Hey everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here for part two of Fire and Rain, episode 9 of season 8. I don't want to spend any more time discussing Mutt Nutter or Jeff Pfister than I have to. This is a part two. So if you haven't listened to part one first, I implore you. I don't want to encourage people to have to listen to, about, you know, Jeff Pfister and Mutt Nutter, because I truly hate these characters.
Don't watch it, whatever you do. You know what I mean? Like, it is not worth watching, you know? And, like,
The bowl cuts are insane. Every time I think about the bowl cuts, it makes me, like, more pissed off in a way that I did not expect.
Yeah, they're very visually, like, unfortunate to look at. That's really the worst part of it, is it is an assault on all of the senses. They are an assault on all of the senses.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible to listen to, terrible to watch, terrible to see. Great to hear. I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, gang.
Yo. Hello.
Almost skipped intros. My bad.
All good.
Shall we get into part two here of Fire and Rain?
The penultimate episode of the season!
We're almost done. We almost made it.
We're about to, you know, wrap up the thing they set up in the first three episodes of how the first three episodes were like in the future / present. Then the rest of the season has been in a flashback. Ooh.
Right.
A 6-3 ratio. Is that correct so far?
Does that count?
Yeah.
Does that count as a flashback? Is the first three a flash forward? At what point does the
ratio...
It's
a premonition.
Yeah,
it's,
at what point does it kick over?
It's almost like the apocalypse was a frame story. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the like when movies do that annoying, like, but how did we get here kind of thing? But except, that, like, that's your whole tag, is it? It's like the end of the world. That's what the whole season's about. Nah, just kidding, you know?
You know what's, like really annoying, too, about that is they, like, set it up because they're like, oh, the first three episodes, especially the first episode, they're like, oh, of course, someone's launched the nukes. All the nukes, TM, are going off. The world is ending. And then, like, two or three episodes in, like, more towards, like, the end of two, I think, they're like, also, Satan's involved in some capacity. So now it's a little more confusing. And then they're like... Ooh, isn't that so interesting? Don't you want to know how we got here? Here's how we got here. And it's like, well, no, because, like, the apocalypse isn't, like, a new and interesting idea. Not even, like, the biblical apocalypse is, like, a new or interesting idea. So, like, I didn't care all that much about how we got there. You could have just been like, Satan started the apocalypse. And I would have been like, yeah, okay. Now what? Now what do we do? Now how are we going to deal with this?
I don't think, like, I want American Horror Story to go into, like, Tom Clancy territory of, like, now here's all the political things that could have led to a nuclear war that were, you know what I mean, where it's like, you can't do that. You know, you're not up to that guy. Come on. And I know what I'm saying here. I know I'm not, that's not a compliment on Tom Clancy. It's more of an insult on American Horror Story. But anyway.
It's real rough. And I do remember, like I said, I think I said this at the end of our last episode. This was one of the seasons I was watching along with, like, the Reddit and whatnot, because I was hate watching it during my midnight shifts at work. So I'd watch it each, like, time it would come out, just waiting to see what dumb bullshit would happen. And I very distinctly remember when this, the penultimate episode, wrapped up, all of, like, the live threads where people would, like, live post their reactions, almost unanimously, there was not a single person who was like, okay, I have a good feeling about the finale. Everyone unanimously was like, there's literally no fucking way. There's literally no fucking way that you can fit enough answers into the final episode of this TV show to even, like, slightly justify the last six episodes of TV. Because, like, it's been six episodes. It was three episodes of a different show and then six episodes or five or six episodes of... the plot not moving forward. They're basically just filling in the interim that we already knew. There's, like, a point A where there's not an apocalypse happening, and then there's the final point, I guess point C, which is what we saw, which is the weird, like, we took two guys or a guy and a gal who have perfect genes and we're gonna repopulate the earth with this weird organization.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, it's all the shit that doesn't matter. Season.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I forgot. Whoa. Right.
Yeah, the perfect genes kids. I hate to be the bearer of bad news if I remember correctly. I don't think they ever get mentioned again. I don't remember.
That's cool.
But I don't think they do.
So, you know, I bailed on this season when it was Coven 2, but for this podcast, at some point, like a couple seasons ago or whatever, I decided to like, all right, I should finish it. I watched it. And even though it was more recent, I completely memory hold Mutt Nutter and Mike Pfister.
Me too.
Somehow.
Yeah, like, same. Like, same.
Like, when did I was like, did I actually watch this? And I know I did, but.
I remember precisely 30 seconds of the finale, and that's it. And when we get to that episode, you will know why.
Yeah, I think we're remembering the same 30 seconds, so I'm interested.
Yep. Oh.
Yeah. But that's for our next episode. We have to finish the penultimate episode, which means that it is unfortunately time for the Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister heavy part of the episode.
I guess, so at this point, I think the one saving grace I was willing to give them as far as attaching the, like, the premonition part of the story to the like actual was maybe the witches would have some like thing where the memory they had of their time in the bunker was like useful in some way, shape or form.
Right. Yeah.
And we're running out of time. I feel like
useful is going to be
very
doing
deeply
a
concerned.
Like the term useful is going to be doing an extraordinary amount of heavy lifting, I think, by the time this has payoff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where did we leave off in our last episode? I think you might remember, if you were paying close attention, that they were poking fun at themselves, they the writers, because they have Michael, who's kind of upset because he didn't kill the only witches he gave a shit about killing. He killed everybody else in the house, but not the witches that he gives a shit about.
Right.
So he's in his in Mead's original house, which I guess is pretty fucking close to where the Witch Academy is for some reason. Which is weird because I could have sworn it was in like L.A. I don't know. Whatever. Who fucking cares? Anyway, he's mad and Meadbot is like, well, maybe we do this for the apocalypse instead. And he's like, no, I have an idea. And he's like, I'm going to become the president and I'm going to first become good friends with an ambassador. And he starts going off on this thing and then Mead is like, this is the plot of The Omen 3. Yay. They're aware of it, that they're doing it.
But like,
is this good?
You know my complaint here. I said it last time. It's just you can't do that.
Yeah, they do direct shot for shot remakes. They do things that are kind of just ripping off a thing without it being like clearly referential. And now they're trying to poke fun at themselves about it too. Like you don't get to have all three. That's
right,
crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and we also like a few minutes before that, when Mead says this, it's revealed that like Mead is somehow also like the Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister can just talk through Mead like immediately, like they type and immediately she talks, which seems like it has an extraordinarily high margin for error. Just like it just seems like if it was me and I was controlling the text to speech robot, I fat finger keys all the time. So it's going to sound like Mead's having a stroke most of the time, I think.
Also, like, they kind of give away the game immediately when, like, Michael is like, I don't like those guys. And she's like, no, they're very smart and good looking, which I know is supposed to be a joke, but also is just like, oh, so you're them talking through my robot mother because I know you're a robot, you know?
What you just said is a glaring example, like a glaring example of how they simultaneously acknowledge that Michael is a 5-year-old boy who's only been alive in 5 human years, and also simultaneously like the smartest mastermind devil man that's ever walked the face of the earth. They sometimes are like, he's just like right now when he's like, I'm gonna become the president and then that's how we'll do the apocalypse, like he's acting very childish in this scene, not in like a tantrum way, but like
right.
He's talking like a kid would.
Great idea. We'll put it on the fridge.
Yeah,
like that kind of way.
Yeah. And but then he's also very cunning and conniving in every other scene.
Like the whole like I'll save the witches from hell to put like Cordelia in good graces, blah blah blah, you know, all that fun stuff, you know, so I can get the supreme test for no reason, it turns out, you know. Yeah. But
I don't really even know why they did that, frankly. Because like it's not really until the witches kill Mead that he's like, oh, now I have a reason to kill the witches. And I'm like, what were we doing before?
I think you inadvertently came up with the perfect tagline for an American Horror Story apocalypse. Like, I don't know why they did that, really.
That is, oh my god, and especially once we hit the hit the fucking finale.
Oh,
holy
yeah,
shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Agent of Mossad coming through. No more spells.
Oh my god. Do you think that was like something like the Agent of Mossad thing? I've been like mulling it over in my mind. Like who could have pitched
How
that?
Could
like
you
who
not?
Pitched it?
Yeah.
And like I feel like at one point in the writers' room when they were brainstorming, I feel like somebody, either Ryan Murphy or Brad Fulcheck, somebody pitched out there something to do. Like before they had like a really good like feel for what they were gonna do, they probably were like, "Oh, we want to do apocalypse. That's our theme." And then they were like workshopping a bunch of different ideas, and somebody must have tossed out like, what if an agent of Mossad had to fight some witches? And everybody else at the table was probably like, okay, well, we'll put a pin in that and circle back to it. But then they promised whoever that was that they would fit it in somehow into the season. And that's how it
like
ended.
They owed a favor to someone. Like,
yeah, they were like, okay.
To Israel? Like, that's the implication, right?
Well, no, because Mead's a bad guy. So they're not like signing off on it. They're saying that she loves Satan and is evil. So, like,
oh,
it's
okay,
bad.
Never mind. Yeah, I was thinking just like she's quite powerful and can like fight witches and like stand up to magic, which is crazy.
Maybe it's a tie-in with Don't Mess with the Zohan or whatever that Adam Sandler movie was at the time.
True. It's just very strange. Really, overall, one of my biggest gripes, like thematically with the whole thing is, well, first of all, it doesn't really explain why either Michael nor Mead nor anybody related to Satanism whatsoever doesn't like the witches. It never really explains why that's the case. And then, like, subsequently, my bigger gripe overarching for the whole season is, why would you, like, pit, why would, like, that be the person that fights the witches? You know what I mean? Like, Satan? Like, that's not typically who fights, like, witches. They're usually pretty chill with each other in, like, most fiction.
Right, that's the, yeah.
It's really, really weird. Like, I don't know. I don't know who, like, who pitched that. Because it's not like, witches versus warlocks, which is what this middle part of the season kind of started as. Like, that makes more sense. Like, okay, we're doing a weird sexism thing, but, like, that at least is in, like, the same wheelhouse of characters who might not like each other for one reason or another. But for Satan to be like, man, fuck them witches, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's not like the witches are like, yeah, we're strong enough to overthrow Satan. Like, I don't think that's even ever crossed their desk. Like, I don't think they care. I don't think the witches care about Satan at all until now.
That's
this was all
point,
stalling
actually,
so that we don't have to talk about Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister.
I know, but, you know, it was noble of you to try, but, you know.
Well,
no avoiding it.
Getting the robot Mutt, I guess. Now Meadbot is controlled by Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister all the time, I guess, is the implication, which also means, like, I don't remember if they wrap this up and if they do in the next episode. I don't think they do. But if they do, this does imply that all the times Meadbot was doing anything in the first three episodes, that Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister potentially could have been involved in some capacity.
Or especially, like, anything that wasn't directly ordered by Ms. Venable.
Yeah, which you might be wondering, does this retroactively affect the first three episodes at all? No, not even a little bit. I can tell you that, like, certainly, that it doesn't. It does not.
I'm disappointed if anybody was actually wondering that, because you should know by now that the show is terrible with their thing. So, you know, but.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things where, like, if for whatever reason you decided to start with this season of our podcast, maybe your expectations haven't been fully obliterated yet, but like in a normal TV show, there would be some through line of like, oh, that means that these fucking guys had access to everything that was going on in the first three episodes. And that would be like, you know, important in some capacity. Not only is that not important, so much else also isn't going to be important by the time this season is over. But alas, the two guys who don't matter are here, and they are talking through the robot. Yay.
Yeah. And more or less, they just say, like, hey, you should ask Mutt and Jeff for help because they are boy geniuses and you should trust them. And he goes, okay, I'm in there. Heads back to their place, their nasty little glass house. And they just kind of say, like, here's a list of very rich people. We know all of them. And they're part of our group. And they try to play it as like a surprise reveal that has like any gravitas. They're like, yeah, we're called the co-op and or the Illuminati. And it's like, come on.
Yeah. It's absolutely the Illuminati, dumbasses. It's the Illuminati. Because we have not said enough buzzwords this season. It is another buzzword. It's the Illuminati. Because let's get it. It's the apocalypse, which means it's the Illuminati.
The Illuminati, them being the Illuminati, by the way, changes nothing. It's literally nothing.
It's
like, they could have said we're number one SpongeBob fan club, and it would impact the story the exact same way.
Or, you know what they could have said? They're the cooperative. Like, it's the same fucking thing, really, you know? Like,
that's kind of cooler. That's kind of cooler, because the idea of, like, the co-op existing in a world where, hypothetically, maybe the real Illuminati, quote-unquote, also exists, but, like, they're better because they have Satan on their side, parentheses, real. That could give them, like, a little gravitas. They could have even thrown a little throwaway line of, like, we're the co-op. You know how you've heard about, like, the Illuminati? They're who, they're pretending to be who we are, or something like that.
Yeah.
But this show's never been like, cool that, a minute
a
of their lives.
Operation for us. Yeah.
No, it's the Illuminati. I'm doing the jerk off motion with my hand. It's the fucking Illuminati. The co-op's the Illuminati.
Michael's response to this too is just he's like, "You're the Illuminati," which you're five. Who's telling you about this?
Yeah, who's telling you about this? Well, I guess Mead, because Mead's part of the Illuminati.
Right.
But then why would he be surprised by that? Why did Mead not explain, like, hey, there's other... That's my biggest thing, is Mead's kind of
was
a dog
shit
mom.
Was she part of the Illuminati?
Yeah.
No,
she was a robot?
Or she is?
Yeah, because she was a Satanist. Why assume she went to that same, like, church and situation that other lady went to?
Yeah, but... I guess, she does know about them. But, like, it's so weird, because why would you just have these random Satanists that could just walk in and be part of the Illuminati? Because even these two idiots are like, yeah, we're number 69, which, like, yeah, it's good. Squid Game
did that joke. Well, I guess it's listed she's the Illuminati and, like, the Satanists are the Illuminati. It's not that the Satanists are the Illuminati. It's the people who have sold their soul to Satan specifically, which they're kind of fast and loose with that definition, because fucking Madeline from the last episode did that, and she's just a lady.
But they also like kind of are like, well, you know, like Bill Clinton's in the group. Like, they're kind of saying like it's an important, prestigious group, right? So it can't just be like Sandra Bernhardt as the I mean, maybe it could be her, I don't know, but like, you know, I don't know. I felt like it was supposed to be like the cooperative's like a big secret evil thing, and not just like, hey, anybody who's got this, anybody who's coming to this church or
they
whatever,
kind of,
you know,
lose their, because they're trying to ham fist this like Bible parallel, they kind of lose it a little bit here with Illuminati, because there's not really like a God analog for that of like, what if there was a group of like super pastors who all hung out together and they were all really rich and good people? Like, there's like, not like a
cardinals.
Yeah, like the pope and like the other people in the Vatican. Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. It's like the Dan Brown thing, you know? It's like, oh, it's the evil super priests who control the world, but they're also good. Or I don't know what the hell Dan Brown's doing. Why didn't, you know? But.
Oh, man, if they, like, conflated the Bible with the Da Vinci Notebook, that would beat ass. That would be so cool.
Yeah. This is actually, you know, like talking it out loud does make me realize that them being like, it's the Illuminati, see? This isn't this such a cool reveal that the co-op's actually the Illuminati. And it's it's not a cool reveal. It's like, no, your organization was like, I'm not going to say it was cool, but it was definitely like better than you being like,
better.
It's the Illuminati.
Right. Yeah.
But like, since they've been going so hard with this Michael is an evil Jesus analog thing they've been doing, it clashes with the Illuminati thing. Like, them saying it's the Illuminati really fucks this all up. Like, really fucks this all up in a really magnificent way. Because, like, they could have been like, it's the co-op, it's the cooperative, and then, like, explained how that had to do with Satanism or something. Because, like, Satan wants you to cooperate. I don't know. I don't fucking know. It would have been better than saying it's the Illuminati is what I'm saying.
They wouldn't, you know, they don't even have to. Right? Like, it was fine as the cooperative. Like, you put it perfectly before. Like, why did we need to do any of this? But yeah.
Are you, exactly. Are you implying American Horror Story made an own goal? I don't know about that. that doesn't sound like them.
Have they ever made a goal? Has that happened?
The full check, I know. Come on, an own goal from him. I respectfully slow.
They're usually if so he on the ball. Own goal,
I think I would have heard.
Ryan Murphy, the writer.
They're constantly cooking. You're telling me that my goat is washed? There's no way. And then that, where they're like, check out the list that we printed out. See, we're there at number 69. And I'm like, okay, haha, funny, hee-ha number. So to the Illuminati, are you seen as like one person by the
right?
co-op?
I was wondering that too.
Do you have to say and dance if you want to get into the bunker? Like, how does that work? A thing that, like, to ham fist in the 69 joke, they had to just write some nonsense that doesn't make any sense in the context of what they're talking about.
Right?
Oh, my God.
You have to imagine, even I took it at face value, it's like, it's almost like, we both want to be 69. Oh, come on, guys, really? Make them both 69.
You know, in
care.
The modern day, it'd be easy, because they'd just be 6 and 7, and
yes.
We'd move on with our lives.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we wouldn't have all these problems of, is there a duality of Jeff and Nut? And I don't think there
Jeff
is.
Jeff Nutter. Mutt Fister.
Like, I said before, like, Squid Game did this, which I'm joking, because Squid Game came out after, but they did it better, because even though it's kind of stupid there, it's like you're supposed to kind of be disdainful toward the people there, and this is just sort of like, okay, you're supposed to be a little disdainful, but they are in charge, and they are smart enough to build this robot and end the world and all this shit, you know. It's just like, it's fair, it's like annoying, but I don't know, it's just, I don't know why we did any of this still, but anyway.
If you're enjoying this podcast and are interested in supporting us or having access to additional bonus episodes, consider subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/greatandterribleahs. Supporters who pledge $5 or more a month will get access to our monthly Patreon exclusive episode in which we discuss various American Horror Story spinoffs, such as American Horror Stories. Thank you again for listening, and we hope to see you around next week.
So, after revealing that, you know, they're the Illuminati, they've all sold their soul to the devil or whatever, then Mutt and Jeff are like, hey, you should use science. It's, like, way better than magic, which, who cares, man?
Stupid. Who cares?
Stupid line. Who gives a shit? Yeah,
you're
whatever,
Satanists.
Dude.
Fuck you. You're Satanists. Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you saw that guy incinerate somebody's soul entirely. Like, maybe cool it on the which one's hot. Like, don't get me wrong. Science does some wild shit. Refrigerators are crazy. But, like, he literally removed a soul from this plane of existence. Like, relax.
Your move, Bill Nye. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Again, it's because they want to have the fucking, like, the parallel of, like, oh, what if... This is the thing. They want the parallel of, like, oh, people who are super religious sometimes don't listen to, like, the bigger picture, or vice versa. Like, atheists don't listen to religious people because they think it's better, even though, like, God is, like, more powerful or whatever. But you can't do that when the people who are saying that are essentially, like, reverso Christianity. You can't have those people be like, excuse me, I'm an atheist, actually, and I believe in that science is stronger than magic. I'm like, you can't be both of those guys. Those are two different guys. I hate the. I fucking hate these guys. But anyway, they're like, yeah, this everybody in the Illuminati are people who sold their soul to the devil, and you can control them because you're the son of Satan. And I'm like, okay, it does not explain how these people are different than the Satanists, which is what we said before with the Mead thing. And then they pull out a Bible, and they make poor Michael read the book of Revelation, which out of context
hey, check
means
this
nothing.
Out. You hate this shit, right? Read it.
Yeah.
This is like the worst thing to you.
Yeah, also we partake. Have it. We have it for some reason. We love reading this. The thing that we hate, the Bible, because we hate both religion
and the Bible.
Right. And then Mutt's like, here's what a nuclear war is, and explains the concept of nuclear war to Michael. And Michael's like, oh, cool, but will it kill the witches? And I'm like, I love how much of a hater my boy Michael is. My sweet boy.
Locked the fuck in. Yeah.
He's like, the bombs are cool, but will it kill the witches? Because that's all I care about right now. And I'm like, you know what? That's my boy. Love that fella. The witches, there are witches alive. We should check in with them. They're in the swamp somehow. They got to the swamp where Misty lives, but they could not afford Lily Rob for this episode, I guess. So she's not home. So they're just at her house, but she's not there. She's with Stevie Nicks somewhere, and I'm not making that up. That is how they explain her away.
Yeah, they're dog sitting for her, I think.
Why did they explain her away? Why did they explain
her? I
don't
know. Like, I guess because she has powers that are really close to Mallory's, and they're like, well, we can't have two witches that do kind of the same thing. That would be fucked up. I just think they couldn't afford Lily Rob for this episode. I think Lily Rob peaced out after like one episode. She's like, one cameo is enough for this season, I think.
Yeah.
But the people who have survived, drum roll please, Myrtle, Cordelia, Coco, Mallory, and Madison are at Misty Swamp Hut. Where did Madison come from, you might be asking? Or Coco? Good fucking question.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
Oh, but Cordelia doesn't feel very good. And she's like,
I'm in the mind maze.
Yeah.
No, my children. I see them. They're on the ground in my mind maze. Woo! And that's like more or less what the scene is her writhing in a bed, being trapped in a mind prison, seeing all the dead witches in the school, which, doesn't. And like she tries to revive them in her dream and it doesn't work because, of course, it doesn't, right?
Yeah, I guess like the idea that they're trying to do is that she's astral projecting or something and is like trying to revive them remotely, like they're playing fucking Apex Legends or something.
Oh, I assumed she was just having like a nightmare sequence of just like thrashing about having realizations of like, oh no, my kids just got exploded. But
because what happens after it implies that like she's very clearly trying and failing to do something real.
Oh, I just assumed it was like something she was, she just woke up and was thinking about it again. But no, you're right. It was probably a magic thing. I was like thinking of like storytelling of like implying it was very traumatizing to Cordelia, but that would be like, someone writing Cordelia as like any kind of relatable character.
This episode has a way of like just like making my brain just kind of go like smoother in a way. You know, like I feel like
I lose some of the ridges in my brain.
Yeah, it's just like you watch it, and you just feel kind of dead inside. Like it's more boring. So you're just like zoning out. It's so hard to pay attention, I find. But,
it teeters on being a parody so many times, but it's not. It's serious, and it's the penultimate episode of the season.
And then like wildly, Cordelia's like, it's not like they're dead. I can't bring them back. It's like their souls are just missing. And then Madison's like, oh, you know what? We saw Michael do something like that at the house. He can just like delete your soul like you never existed. And then Cordelia fucking slaps her across the face. Like, how could you keep that from me? Like, what are you out of your mind? Like, what?
He's the devil, Cordelia. What do you mean? Like,
how could you keep that
from
me?
You can do that, Cordelia. Allegedly, you did it to Mead. Why would you think that Michael can't do it? What the fuck are you talking about?
And what the fuck has your track record been for bringing back the witches anyway? Like, frankly,
bad.
Like, Michael's
Real
been
bad.
Better at it than you have, so.
Yeah, looking around the room and taking a head count and realizing Mike brought back more of them.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, by, like, a pretty like, advantageous number.
And one of the ones that Cordelia brought back was, like, I need you to promise me to not fucking bring me back. I don't care. I'm doing it anyway.
It's actually happened twice. It's actually happened twice to Cordelia that she's brought someone back and someone was like, oh, I wish you hadn't done that, actually.
Please put me back in the ground.
Yeah. Oh, this sucks. Both Misty and Myrtle were like, why did you do this, dude? I don't want to be alive. This sucks. But yeah, Madison takes an L here for, like, kind of no reason besides Cordelia being, like, a weird, like, hater, I guess, and being dumb. And Myrtle is like, hey, chill the fuck out. Like, it's, you need to relax, Cordelia. Yeah. Like, chill. And if Myrtle is telling you to chill the fuck out, things are dire. Things are really bad. Because Myrtle has never chilled the fuck out 1 second of any day ever. That's, like, kind of her whole deal. But then they, like, turn and look at Mallory and they're like, maybe Mallory can undo, maybe we've just solved our problem of quantum immortality where we can revive any character ever, our Dragon Ball problem. We've solved that in our plot. What if we unsolved it again by adding a character that could undo it? And then they cut to a new scene and Myrtle pulls out a book and is like, there's actually a super secret magic power spell that we think isn't real and that it allows you to time travel and anyone who's ever done it has died. And I'm like, well, that would be a pretty good indicator that it doesn't exist if you're trying to do it and it just fucking kills everyone that does it.
Right.
Kind of sounds like it just doesn't exist and you should stop trying it if you don't already have, like, the proclivity.
Maybe
or, like, a power that looks like you can do it.
Maybe they were all bad. Maybe I'm built different. Maybe they just
skill
sucked.
Skill issue.
Right. Maybe they're just ass.
Why would you,
yeah,
would
what
put
if
that
just
in
ass?
Your, why would you put that in your book? Why would you put that in your magic book? Of, like, here's a spell that kills everyone
spell
who tries
that kills
it.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does nothing.
Yeah, spell that kills you is not, like, generally a pretty popular pick. Like, when you're leveling up, you're like, I'll take Fireball. It's,
like, choice. And, like, why would you, like, suggest it? Why would you be like, well, there is this one spell that never works and always kills the person who does it.
Kills you.
Yeah, so why don't we try that one? Oh, my God. I'm like, why wouldn't you just try a new one? Why wouldn't you just try a new spell? Like, make her do a new spell. She clearly has some kind of magic you don't know about. So, like, make her do a new spell. But whatever. Cordelia, yeah.
And, like, also, like, most modern stories, when they introduce time travel, start talking about the issues with causality and all the problems, basically, and how they're gonna, and then they're just like, huh, time travel, let's go. You know, like, nobody's, like, kind of like, well, wait a minute, like, there's issues, but they're just like, ah, fuck it, we're gonna try it, and boy, how do they try it, but...
Oh my god, yeah, Cordelia's like, you're right, in fact, if you can reverse time for dead animals, that means you can time travel, and I'm like, she doesn't. Do that.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Not what she does. And they
she
just
brought a bird back to life.
Yeah. And a deer, I think, one time. And
like,
she also
like,
did it. She
removed a thing from someone's throat and then, like, healed it really
with, like,
quickly,
a magic
which,
laser,
again,
which is not at all what her power is.
Honestly, overcomplicated Heimlich, if we're being, like, real about it, right? Like, it's like she could do it, but she shouldn't have. It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't have any spells. I could just, like, you know, give her a good squeeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could cut her throat open with, like, a scalpel and do, like, surgery. Is that anything? They go all in on this, and they start running her a bath, which is, I guess, how you do this spell. And I need everybody who's listening, if you're on a treadmill or if you're out walking around listening to this, if you're driving, pull the car over. I need everybody to sit down and lock in for the next five minutes.
Speaking of which, last episode I said, remember, because it was like, you'll never guess what I'm like, guess how you test out time travel. You're locking your guesses now, because here the fuck it is.
Yeah, bring that to your mind. Whatever you guessed that it was, I want you to bring that to your mind. If you had to test whether or not you could successfully not only time travel, but change the past in a way that would not drastically fuck up the future, How would you do it? What is a way you would test that? Would you perhaps maybe go back in time and stop one of your beloved friends, another witch who was just gunned down like ruthlessly in their own home? Maybe prevent that? Maybe save the witches' lives and get them out of there? Tell them not to be there when Michael shows up? That's a good idea, listener. What if we started another flashback within a flashback?
Let's talk about the Anastasia. You know the Russian princess who went missing
in Siberia, July 1918. For some fucking reason, here we are. You know real Anastasia from history? Great news. She's back in flashback form.
You may have remembered Don Bluth movie about it a while back. Competitor to
Bartok,
Disney.
Funny little bat.
Oh, yeah, my God. So the Russian
Princess Anastasia, who, you know, in the Bolshevik Revolution, like, kind of, there's, like, a myth that maybe she survived it and all that, you know, and it's this whole thing. A real thing, by the way. Not, like, fiction or anything, right? Like, real thing. So... Mm.
Yeah. By the way, when we say flashback in a flashback, we're not talking about, like, Myrtle's like, hey, do you remember this lady? And then we get, like, a brief flashback of, like, that lady. No, it's a whole sequence that lasts, like, 5 minutes of us watching Princess Anastasia, the real one from 1918, waking up and hearing the soldiers storming her home to, like, take them all to the basement and execute her father because allegedly she's a witch. And she's going to cast a protection spell, which is, like, I would think, like, day one shit. Like a ward, like a protection ward. And it kind of works. She kind of does it one time. But then it doesn't. And they kill everybody. And then it cuts back to the future. Again, that's 5 minutes. I've cut out a lot of details because it's a fully acted out historical reenactment that they do
a
in this episode.
Historical reenactment, comma... where someone casts a spell.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Yeah. You're doing big air quotes
historical
around historical.
Historical is doing a lot of flexible things here.
Like, still not as egregious as, hey, we know who the Zodiac Killer is and they killed Andy Warhol. But, like, you know, but still. Right?
Also, like, they were, like, a radical feminist or whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Then it cuts back from that flashback and Myrtle's like, okay, now that I've told you about this girl from 1918, in the middle of this while we're running you this bath, she failed at protecting her family, but maybe you won't, Mallory. And if I was Mallory, I'd be like, let me go home. What the fuck are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, literally, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, okay, so fuck it. If you're going to go back and do a major historical event, because I don't know, maybe it's just me, I would think that maybe stopping that would have a lot of ramifications since it's, you know, like a historical thing that happened, having Nikolai, like, Alexandrovich or whatever get executed. Like, that was kind of a big deal. So, like, if she were to reverse that, that would, I would think, fuck up a lot of stuff in the present.
It's a terrible idea. You know?
Just
and, like,
on
9/11. I'm joking about the Don Bluth movie, but it's a seriously, like, big event. Like, even if not, it's not, like, an offhand thing everybody knows immediately. Like, there's been movies, like, books. Like, it's a thing. You
know? It definitely affected, like, stuff. It definitely affected things moving forward.
Right. We'll just stop 9/11, like, maybe, you know? Just as a little proof of concept. I don't know. Right, yeah.
You could even, if you wanted to keep it, like, safe and minimum, you could just be like, okay, I'm going to think of a thing that I'm going to tell you to do, and then I'm going to flip a coin. And then you flip the coin, you wait, and then you just say, okay, grab it out of midair. Or, like, that's the idea, you think that. And if they just snatch it out of midair before you, like, tell them to do it, you know they got it, right? Like, that would be, it's so safe.
So, like,
as opposed to, let's get shot at.
You know what? Like, okay, Steins Gate did a really smart thing. We're going to play the lottery. We're going to guess 5 of the numbers, like, go back and give that information back, you know, and that way we don't win the lottery, but it's unlikely enough that we know. That's too clever? Okay, Quantum Leap, a show from the 80s, like, let's, like, let's save Jackie Onassis instead, because she died in that history, and that's their timeline kind of thing. And it's like, okay, it's a minor modification to things. Well, that's still a little big, but it's like, it's still better than let's save this fucking Russian princess. Like, it's crazy that they thought of this, except this is, again, like, the Brian Murphy, Brad Falchuk, like, I want to teach a history lesson while I'm here. You know, method of writing.
For
so,
some reason.
Whatever.
First, this is the one thing they retained from, like, history in school.
Right.
And they wanted to somehow fit it in. I think what it was is because they really, really badly wanted this to be, like, Coven 2. And I fear so much that Coven 3 is going to be just all this. I think
they wanted
to have, like, what if historical figures were all, like, they wanted to, like, Fate Stay Night it. They were like, what if every, like, female figure in history was actually a witch? What if Joan of Arc was a witch? Like, I think that's what they wanted to do. I think that's
right.
Desperately what they wanted to do, but they didn't have time because of all the other shit that was happening in this season. So this might shock you, listener. Somehow Mallory does manage to do it. She goes back to 1918. She's speaking English to this girl who almost certainly only speaks Russian. And nobody in the room questions Mallory's presence. Not a single person. Not any of the soldiers. None of Anastasia's family. They're like, yeah, it's cool this teenager from 2018 is here. And then they try to, like... save the family, and then they can't. Womp womp, everyone dies anyway. Mallory has to watch all these people get fucking executed right in front of her eyes and know that she failed, and then she comes back and is like, holy fuck, that sucks so fucking bad. What the fuck? That was so shitty.
Yeah,
holy,
like,
shit.
To be clear, like, they like hold up a little necklace and they grab it together and they're like, spell mode, all in, baby, spell mode. And then they just keep firing bullets and it kills everybody. Which is like, yeah, not a cool thing to get to see. It's just like, yay, I'm going to save the princess. Oh, no.
And then the best is like, because then when she's back, right, it's like, wait, did we get there yet? Sorry, like. Oh, yeah, like, she gets back, she's like, I couldn't save her, everybody died, and Myrtle's like, close enough, like, you got back there.
Yeah, at least you got back there, it was fine.
Like, what, are you fucking serious? And, like, you don't know that she got back there, she could just be having a vision of it, like, what the
and
hell?
And she's, like, got blood running from her nose, and she's shaking and shivering and, like, clearly traumatized, and she's just like, eh, you know, half a dozen, you know, one way, six another.
Yeah, that's good. All right, you made it. All right, next thing. On to the next plot point.
Oh my god!
Incredible.
So that was a good test run in their eyes, I guess. And now it's later, and Myrtle and Cordelia are sitting on the porch just chatting with each other. And Cordelia's like, "My mom Fiona sucked so bad. In case you guys forgot about season 3." And I hate that I'm dying like my mom did. And Myrtle's like, we all die. I've literally died 3 times in this show alone. And also your mom was like really shitty, like real bad, but you're not like as bad. You're still bad, but like not as bad. She was like shitty on purpose. You're shitty because you're incompetent.
You just suck,
and dumb.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You're shitty because you're just bad at this.
Right.
And then Cordelia's like, we got to do the sacred taking. And I'm like, I think like 20 minutes ago in this TV show, you said something about a cerebellum not catching up or something, which is why Mallory couldn't be the Supreme yet. So the sacred taking shouldn't work if for some reason. Okay. That doesn't matter.
It's a spell of more brain. You got to have more brain real fast.
See, it's making our brains smoother, but it will make them the opposite.
They're getting mega-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Myrtle's like, it's fine. We don't got to do the sacred taking. We just need to stall. I'm like, stall for what? Who are we stalling for? Like, what are we stalling for? Like, until eventually she can time travel? Like, that could take fucking forever. She beefed it. Like, what are you talking about? Doesn't fucking matter. That's the end of the scene. Time to go to the boys' school, I guess. And Cordelia and Myrtle are at the boys' school, which I was led to believe, based on the beginning of this flashback sequence 5 episodes ago, required a plane ride, but apparently not. And they're at the boys' school to get help from the warlocks. I'm like, why would you think Michael isn't here? This is like kind of where he hangs out. And then two, what warlocks? The only warlocks who are still alive are John Henry and Behold, and they were hanging out with you last time we saw them. Why did they go home? There's no boys at the boys' school. That's really weird. And Cordelia's looking around like, where could they have gone? And I'm like, if you're like a magic user, are you not allowed to use a cell phone? You can't like call them and be like, hey, you guys good over there? Everything's still good? Like, you guys left. And I can't imagine Michael was super chill with you killing his friends or being a part of killing his friends. So, you guys good? Nope, didn't do that. Anyway, what I'm alluding to is that they walk into the next room and all the boys are dead. All of them, including Behold and John Henry, who died off screen. I guess they got Michael'd, I suppose. They're maybe in a pentagram needed. Shape, so I guess it was Michael someone.
Mead killed John Henry without even a gun hand, you know, back in the day. True. So I guess gun hand probably, you know.
True.
Even better, who knows?
That was a lot of boys. None of those warlocks even like put up a fight. They just like were like, yeah, it's okay. You can just kill us. It's fine. It's whatever. The boys are dead. There's no more boy witches. They're gone. They didn't actually have anything to do with the season, turns out. They were completely inconsequential to the plot at all. They did nothing. Literally. The warlocks did nothing for the plot whatsoever. Because, like, the only thing the warlocks were doing was maybe making Michael the Supreme, and that didn't really happen. So,
And it just turned out that Michael hated all the witches and warlocks anyway and was going to kill all of them. And, like, it seems like that was his plan from the word go, you know, which...
Remember when Michael had plans? Remember when he had, like, a plan? It seemed like he knew what he was doing, and then now it's just, like, kind of winging it, and it's like, maybe science is better than magic. It's anyway time to kill some warlocks. I don't know, you know? Those were the days.
You know who I miss?
Who?
Miss Venable. We should check
fucking
in.
Liar. You're a liar.
We should
That's
check
not
in.
True. You
she's
do not
my
miss Venable.
No. She's my favorite character. I'm wearing my number one Venable fangirl shirt right now.
Venable is not your comfort character, Liz.
That is Gore, my comfort character. This is my best friend, Miss Venable, and
Venable's
she's very important to me.
Big blunt.
Yeah, it's like one of those like nasty SpongeBob T-shirts from like the early 2000s, where he's got like the blinged out teeth.
Oh no, Venable, a dang pimp.
Yeah, her eyes are all bloodshot, and she's smoking a blunt. Yes. Yeah, that's what the shirt I'm wearing right now. We're back at the wherever the fuck Mutt and Jeff live, I guess, at Facebook campus, and Venable's there, and Venable's like packing her desk up, and she's like, hello, Mutt and Jeffrey, I hired those escorts you asked me to hire. And I'm like, the literal last thing we saw you say is that you weren't going to do that. And then she's like, I'm resigning. And I'm like, why did you hire the escorts if you're resigning? and then Jeff is like, no, we don't want you to resign. And she's like, I don't care. Goodbye. I'm resigning. And they're like, this has the energy of like two like sons who like broke their mom's like prize like vase or something very like an heirloom, something very hard to replace that like obviously isn't
ass.
Good. Yeah, yeah, and now they're like both standing there with their hands at their sides like, mom, I froed up. Like, they clearly feel bad, but like they don't know what to do or say, but like the mom is clearly pissed off. And they're like, no, it's the world is ending and we want you to come to our secret nuke bunker. And I'm like, why do you want that? And B, why would she believe that?
And since when do they like give a shit about anyone but themselves, you know? It's like that they've been like, they're like these really selfish assholes who don't think much of humanity, and they like don't really care about her. Like, she brings them drugs and like prostitutes every now and again, right? Or like, so what's like, since when are they like, oh no, but
like,
wait,
nice.
We've always,
she's not nice. Like,
no,
she's not like
yeah.
nice to them. They don't have like a rapport.
No.
Like
yeah. She doesn't have much of a job to be good at, you know? Like, I'm sure they can find someone who's like, I booked like, you. Yeah. the sex
she
workers.
She just like
likes.
Literally yeah. was like, they were like, "Hey, what's going on?" She's like, "Is this about my scoliosis?" It's such a yeah. weird dynamic. Like, I don't get it.
Oh my god! Yeah, I don't know why they suddenly give a shit about Venable. You'd think that like at like the most, these two would like make a Venable bot or something. They don't.
And also, yeah. And not like scoliosis is a huge deal, but also they make a big deal about like how repopulating the world and you're going to need the perfect genes and everything. But and then it's like, well, then why are you letting somebody with scoliosis in the after
disgusting.
World? Right?
Disgusting.
The devil's curse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unclean. Disgusting. Yeah.
Wild.
But they're like, no, it's okay. Like, we work with the Illuminati and you can, like, run an outpost however you want to.
Yeah.
And that's how we want you to do this. And I'm like, why do you want this lady to run one of your outposts?
She's
what the fuck
really
are you talking about?
Good. She's really good at calling prostitutes and getting cocaine, and that means she can run a post-nuclear war bunker.
Is this supposed to, like, yeah. explain why she had these, like, weird rules about, like, sex and not having it in the bunker? You know?
Because they, like, say, you can just do whatever. You make the rules. Who gives a shit? Which, like, then why would she be worried about the co-op finding out about it? Which was, like, a major plot point in the early part oh, no, if they catch us wearing purple, we'll be in so much trouble. Like, you make the fucking rules. The Blowjob Brothers said, do what you want. Like, you don't need to hide wearing purple. The, you are the rule maker. It's you are someone.
That's what I'm saying. It's like having a fantasy, but like in your own fantasy, you get owned and are a loser. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is like retroactively showing us that like Venable's a real fucking freak who was like doing a real big long con, who was like, No, I can't be a purple. I'm not good enough because of my scoliosis. And this is a weird, like, oppression thing that I have. But in, like, reality, she just gets to do whatever the fresh fuck she wants. and is just doing
sense.
That to herself. Really, the guy sticking the stick into the spoke of the tire meme. But, like, it's Venable.
Doesn't she
whatever.
Try to seduce Michael, actually, in the apocalypse world?
Cool.
To get, like, a pick, remember to get like picked for the base or the real.
I don't think she know. I don't think she knows who Michael is. Like, I don't think that she got to see that part. Not that that fucking matters even like a little bit. I don't think she knows that he's the son of the devil.
But like, she knows who he is, right? Because she's had to have buzzed him in or whatever.
Yeah.
The hell. You
but
know?
I think that she just thinks he's a part of this Illuminati shit that she just learned about. Probably.
I see. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Who fucking knows? Frankly, I'll remind you, Slow Beef. It won't matter.
That's right.
I can't say why, but it won't matter. Mm. Anyway, there's one more scene of this TV show. And I don't know where the fuck we're supposed to be. It looks like a zoo or an arboretum or like Moody Gardens. I don't know where the fuck they are. But Meadbot and Michael are like walking around, again, what looks like a zoo. Like a zoo or something. And Michael's
they
like...
They were probably trying to do like a Noah's Ark after the end of the world thing of like, we got two of every animal. So once the nuclear fallout is done in like...
Mm-hmm.
How long does nuclear fallout take? Like, like 10 years?
Yeah.
20?
Something like that.
It's a short amount of time.
When
roughly,
I say
right?
it yeah. looks like a zoo, I don't think there's any animals in the scene. It spiritually feels like a zoo. You know how, like, zoos are, like, laid out where there's, like, winding walking paths that go past, like, exhibits, and there's, like, a lot
yeah.
of plants? That's what I'm referring to. It could be an arboretum. I don't know. It's just, it looks like a zoo. We don't see any animals. we do see like a bunch of white people in Patagonia shirts, and Michael's like, wow, I didn't expect the Illuminati to wear so much flannel in Patagonia. And I'm like, you're 5 years old. How do you know what Patagonia is? Like, what are you talking about, Michael? And Michael's like, I'm still a little bit nervous because I gotta have a meeting with the Illuminati. And Mead's like, you're the son of Satan. They have to listen to you. They, like, worship you or whatever. And I'm like, that is true. And then we go into a boardroom where every single iteration of Daft Punk from every timeline shows up. I guess that's what the Illuminati, every like fiction has their own version of what the Illuminati looks like. This is by far the lamest. This is truly the lamest iteration. Everybody's Daft Punk.
Like, yeah, Kingdom Hearts, black robes and tall ass chairs like clears this by a mile. And that's saying something. I don't have a lot of respect for them fellas sitting on them tall ass chairs.
Yeah. And there's like a bunch of them. There's like 100 or whatever. And they're all wearing their Daft Punk helmets. And I'm like, why would you be anonymous at your headquarters? Like,
there's a list.
You live here. Yeah, there's a list. He knows who he's talking
list.
To.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this just like some theater? I think it's because they didn't want to have to pay lookalikes because they named a bunch of people who were on the list and they didn't want to have to make like a Bill Clinton lookalike. So they're like, everybody's a Daft Punk, actually. So then Michael starts his pitch meeting and he's like, hello, I'm Michael. I'm the Antichrist. And everyone's like, and they start whispering. I'm like, has this news not made it here yet? Like, the other Satanists didn't, like, send an email before this happened?
How did the nerds keep this under wraps, damn it?
Yeah,
where's
also,
my jerk-off bot?
you let him in here without, like, knowing what his deal was? You just let a guy that you don't know come in here to the Illuminati headquarters and do a pitch meeting? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Anyway, he's like, here's my cool binders that I had Meadbot make for everyone. We printed them out at Kinko's, I guess, before we got here. And like he moves before, like they're all like murmuring, like, I don't know, this guy's really the son of Satan or whatever. He moves his hand. And when he does that, it makes like a sword noise, like a loud sword sound effect. And everyone's like, oh, that means he's the son of Satan. I'm like, I'm not even sure what it's supposed to imply happened here. Like he made a cool noise and they were like, yup, that's Satan. Only Satan can do that. Huge. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to give you my pitch for how I'm going to end the world. And he starts like kind of walking around while Mead passes out like a shitload of these folders they had made. Nobody looks at the folders, by the way. Complete waste of time. I'd be pissed if I was Michael. And he's like, okay, the Earth sucks ass so bad, and we have to wipe everything out. So I think what he's doing is he's trying to, like, convince them that, like, it's good, actually, that we're going to end the world that they are, like, currently running. Because they don't seem to have a lot of, like, upside here. So I think he's trying to sell them on it. And he's like, the Earth sucks so bad. Everybody sucks so bad. And I'm like, isn't that kind of like what Satan wants? Like, is that not what the lady at the church said we wanted? Like, that's good, right? For you guys? Like, you'd think that was like sick. The like wiping the Earth and starting over because everybody sucks was kind of a God deal. That was like his thing. And these guys, yeah.
Like when? Name one time. You can't mention the flood or the ark. Those don't count.
Sodom and Gomorrah? Sodom and Gomorrah, is that anything? Pillar of Salt?
You also can't use that one.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
There's
you
a lot
got,
that, yeah.
True.
No, well, yeah, you got
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you got
yeah,
me.
Yeah, very confusing, especially because, yeah. The whole mission of them was to increase suffering on planet as much as possible at, like, the Church of Satan. And if that wasn't the objective,
you know why?
Michael could have had a really cool moment of, like, walking up to the front of the stage and being like, hey, motherfuckers, that's not right.
Here's why. It's New Game Plus for Satan. Because it's like, okay, you did it. Everything's suffering now. We got to start all over.
Devilman
Crybaby
shit. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Also, I was led to believe by Mutt Nutter and Jeff Pfister that the Illuminati were all already on board and had given their souls to Satan. All the Satanists we've met so far are super into the idea of the apocalypse. So why are these people not like, yeah, we've already been working on it. Like, we're the most powerful people in the world. We've been working on it. Like, we've been working on this behind the scenes. Anyway, he's like, okay.
Which also, to their credit, wouldn't you, if you got control of, like, nuclear weapons and you knew the apocalypse was the end goal, you'd just be like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, we did it.
Nice, let's relax until he shows up. Big chillin'. Yep.
And then he shows up and they're like, oh boy, do we have, like, something incredible to show you. Sharks, here's my plan. And he's that's not what happens. He gives his speech, and then he's like, also, you guys work for my dad, so you have to listen to me. If you want, you can, like, live in the bunkers. Read your binders. Everybody gets to live in a bunker, and it costs $10 million to live in the bunker. So don't worry. No poor people allowed. See you all in the next episode.
The last episode we might want to mention. Yeah.
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 Ain't no way. I need.
Because Slow Beef and I know how it ends. Slow Beef and I know. Mm-hmm. We know what's coming.
Yeah.
Ty, what do you think happens? Just give a couple plot points of what you think is going to happen in the next episode.
And if your answer is I have no fucking idea, it's acceptable, because this has been a goddamn mess from start to finish. Okay. So
what are some things you'd like to see rectified? What are a few plot points you'd like to see tied up?
Mallory do time travel big style.
Okay. You'd like to see that, or you think it's going to happen?
I think that could happen. That seems like a way that they could unwrite this. And the one plot point they have been building up to that I think is enough of an easy out that I can see them taking it.
Okay.
I guess is the way I would put it.
Okay.
I think it'd be cool if Cordelia died, but also they're doing Coven 3. So she'll probably die, and then we do the big time travel again, and then she stops dying for some reason.
Well, keep in mind, too, death is, Myrtle's death was the big finale of Coven, So, it's cheap, it doesn't matter. And I'm not saying that one way or the other, because...
True.
But...
Okay, to get a little more focused, to really hone in, because really all of this has been a big flashback leading up to explaining what happened in the first three episodes of the season. Anything from the first three episodes you'd like to see tied up?
I'll just say in particular, Mallory is going to exile herself in some way, shape, or form. She's going to the X Zone. There's no way they can keep that character around, so I think Mallory's going to explode into a cloud of gas and never return, allegedly, supposedly. Of the first three episodes, is there anything I want to see wrapped up? I can't remember. Did Zombie Boyfriend get killed? I feel like he was running around.
No idea.
Before
no
Cordelia idea. Got him. The witches.
No.
Okay.
You mean Billy Eichner, Zombie Boyfriend, Kyle from season three.
No, he means Billy Eichner.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, mutant boyfriend.
Yeah, I think it would be cool if he showed up. I think there is snowball's chance in hell that's happening, but I think it would be cool. Other than that, I don't know, man. They kind of drop nukes, and it's hard to have a lot of plot outside of that that's not related to the nukes. Kind of an all-consuming fire in the most literal sense.
Good point. I would like to remind both you and the audience that the last scene that we saw before we kicked off going into the flashback zone was
Cordelia reviving everybody.
Yes, Cordelia reviving everybody and being like, "Tell me everything you know and what's gone on here, because I've heard Michael's about," and then Michael is about, and then Michael is facing off with the witches who have been revived, and not other people who are dead in the bunker.
They're gonna kill Michael with a knife, or a big stone. I don't know.
Any ideas how they're going to use all this cumulative knowledge that they've gotten to do the big final battle against Michael in the bunker? Any ideas?
Stick or a big stone is my guess. I don't know. I put no stock in them thinking The only thing that would be, like, truly coming full circle is if, like, Zoe somehow seduces him and kills her with, or kills him with her evil vagina. That's, like, the only way this would really be two seasons coming from a real nice bookend. George Lucas would be proud of that,
actually,
honestly.
Yeah. Like, I think that would have been.
Yeah, it rhymes.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll see if any of that stuff happens. We certainly will see if any of that stuff happens.
The season finale, Apocalypse. Was it Apocalypse Then? Or
yeah. Apocalypse Then.
Yeah, Apocalypse Then.
Yeah. Get it? Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do.
One more reference for the road, baby. Oh, we'll catch you all next time. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great rest of your day.
Later.
Bye.